This time we've asked one of our youth leaders on this mission trip to commend us to the Lord in prayer. Isaac?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come and gather together as a local expression of the body of Christ today. And Lord, the privilege that is that you've given us, as we learned last Wednesday, that we are in your body, we're part of your body, Lord, and we are your temple. And I pray that you would help this meeting to go well, that everyone that comes up here before this pulpit would be filled with the Holy Spirit and be used of you, Lord. I thank you so much for this opportunity that we had a couple of months ago to go out to Arizona and to minister to these Navajo people and to all those that we shared the gospel with on the way there and back. And I pray that this meeting here wouldn't be the conclusion of this missions work, but it would just be a continuing update on the missions work that this church as a whole is doing, that we're doing in the name of Shannon Hills and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that each of us would be encouraged today through this. Lord, help us to each learn something that we can go home and apply. And Lord, I just thank you for the encouragement that this trip was for me, for the struggles and the perseverances and the different things that happened, Lord. And we know that tribulation worketh patience. And I just thank you so much for this body of believers here that supported us. Without them, we couldn't have done it, Lord. And I pray all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm just going to abbreviate the opening exercises. I'm just going to refer you to your bulletin for all the announcements. You know, we got a lot of stuff coming up, the special meetings, a lot of other special meetings like the men's meeting, the ladies' conference, and different things. So make sure you get a bulletin and get up to date on that, if you will. This time, I'd like to welcome any of those who are visiting with us this morning. Have our ushers come forward. If you just slip your hand up as we sing you a welcome song, we've got a little packet we'd like to give you.
There's a welcome here, a welcome here. There's a Christian welcome here, hallelujah. There's a welcome here, a welcome here. There's a Christian welcome here.
How about birthdays? Anybody celebrating a birthday? Lost a shoe on the way up. Yeah, JC said, do I got to share the limelight with a baby? He can hold his own, though. Let's get their names.
JC Mendenhall.
This is Finley Harris.
Finley Harris. I think I know this guy. Let's sing happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Born again means salvation. Happy birthday to you.
Hopefully he'll grow out of looking like me. So. All right, wedding anniversaries. Have any wedding anniversaries today? All right. As y'all see, they did dress up for the occasion. I guess we could call them Herman and Myrtle this morning. All right, let's get their names and number of years they've been married.
Greg and Lisa Whittemore, 36 years.
All right, let's give them a big hand, 36 years.
A happy anniversary to you, a happy anniversary.
Commend them to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this couple here before us, Lord. We thank you for their love for you. We thank you for their love for one another. Lord, we thank you for blessing them with these 36 years together. We thank you for Greg and Lisa and the work that they do here for you and the example and testimony they are in their lives. Lord, we just pray that your hand of blessing will continually be upon them, go before them for many more years as we commit them into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As we mentioned, we've got a really special program this morning, and I'm going to turn the next portion over to our youth director, Mark Armfield, to start things off.
Thank you, Todd. Thank y'all for being here this morning. I hope it's a very special time for you. We have had a number of requests about sharing the missions team report with the entire congregation as much as possible, and so the elders opted for Sunday morning, which is great because we hope to include as many people as possible. Just a real quick history on how long we've been doing this, if you're new to the fellowship here. Our first missions trip to Emmanuel Mission was in 2000. And to give you a little perspective on how long that's been going on, some of the participants as youth on that trip were Josh Shelley, Zach Whittemore, Mary Elizabeth Pate, Megan Taylor, just to name a few. I know there were others, but I didn't bring my list. So those people are mostly grown, married, and gone, and some have kids, but those were some of the first participants. Gary and Lisa Jones were leaders, along with myself and my wife and family, and some others as well. So we've come a long way. It was the biggest trip ever, with a total of 36 participants, and I'm going to ask them all to come to the stage right now, as many that are here, so you can see the large group that flew out to Arizona. I'm just going to start running through the names as they come up, starting with the leaders, Todd and Cindy Apple, myself, Tim and Cindy Hawks, Scott and Sharon Murphy, Brian Westcott, Greg and Lisa Whittemore, Dane Armfield, Isaac Burton, Clayton Carpenter, and then it was Caitlin Murphy, now Caitlin Carpenter, Nick Whittemore, Maddie Long, and then the teens, John and Susie Allen, Claire Armfield, Miles Barefoot, Shelby Batts, Mackenzie Caldwell, Julia Chavez, Hannah Chavez from Dubuque, Iowa, Thomas Hawks, Lucas Jones, Marley Jones, Caroline Kimmel, Micah Kimmel, Abby Long, Kendall Long, Daniel Murdoch, Nick Murphy, Josh Proctor, and Ezra Walls. And this was the 2015 missions trip to Arizona. So thank you. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. I thought it would be nice to get them up here so you could see how many people. Now, let me ask you, how many, raise your hand, want to keep up with that many people in an airport? Believe me, it's nerve-wracking. So it is quite an endeavor. We do wear the shirts, especially on the way out there. It does help with identification. As a large group flying with that many people, it can be a challenge. So we wanted you to see what we looked like the morning that we flew out. Like I say, it was our largest team ever. It was also the last two trips, 2013 and 2015, have been very fruitful for us spiritually, as you will hear in some of the reports that are taking place this morning from the different ones. I do want to offer just a word of apology of how long it took to get this together. We had many people asking, when are you going to do the report? When are you going to do the report? Well, August was out of the question because I had a son get married. We're out of the country for that. Caitlin and Clayton had their wedding. The Apples had a wedding. So August was packed. We just couldn't get enough schedules together. September was almost as bad. So we wanted as many people to be here as possible, especially for Sunday morning. So it just took us a while to arrange the schedules of 36 people to have as many here as possible. So that's why it's a little later than we would like to have gotten the report out to you. The order of events are we're going to have someone come up and share their experiences as a first-timer on this missions trip. And we've got one person that's going to share about the work projects that we did, one to share about the kids' clubs. We have some very important testimony information to share with you, along with a slideshow. And just in opening, we did have a wonderful trip. Probably the first timer is going to share with you his perspective on the unusual circumstances we faced involving many different areas that he was given a perspective on, and it was nothing like he was told. So I'm going to turn it over to Brian, and then Todd will continue to have everybody else come through.
Well, first of all, happy birthday, Amanda. Didn't want to come up. But probably shouldn't have done that. Oh, well. So this is my first time going to Arizona. So I kind of have a different perspective on this trip than some of the others who have been. just some facts you might want to know about the week. While you guys were here, well, first of all, during all the planning meetings, almost every one, we were reminded to, you know, start drinking lots of water. We were given these packing lists of, you know, don't bring any, you know, any blankets or anything. Just bring like a sheet to cover up with, and you probably don't need maybe just one pair of long pants, you know, if you want to look nicer for one of the events. So I did all that. I followed the rules and the packing list as best I could. And we got there, and in Phoenix, it was hot. It was like hot to where when you're outside, it feels like your whole body is sunburned and the heat is just beating down on you. And then we drove a little north, and the average temperature for the week was 82 degrees for the whole week in Arizona. The high temperature for the week, the highest day was 88 degrees. Just to give you a little perspective, here in Greensboro for the week, the average temperature was 91 degrees, so about 9 degrees hotter. I was also told there will be no rain out there. Everything will be dead and brown and dying. I get out there, and it was this lush, green, open area, lots of rain. That week, again, I looked this up this morning if you're wondering why I know this. In Greensboro, y'all got about half an inch of precipitation that week. In Arizona, where we were at, we got 3/4 of an inch. So literally, so far, nothing was as I expected. As we're driving in, you know, everyone says, you'll know when we're getting close because we're going to turn off the main road, and it's just going to be this long, bumpy road, you know, all the way till we get to the mission station. And we keep driving, and I'm wondering where this bumpy road is. Well, apparently we turned onto it, but since they had last, or the group had last been there, they paved, the better part of 3/4 of the thing, so I didn't experience that either. And then we finally get to the mission station, and it was a good place to be for the week. It was hot, you know, but not as hot as it was here. So it wasn't quite what I expected. I even wondered at times if this was even the Navajo reservation, if it wasn't the Cherokee or something, since I had been misled so many other times. But anyway, there's going to be other people who are going to come up and talk about the kids' clubs and the work projects, so I won't touch on that. But I will mention the Grand Canyon. Was my first experience, and it was kind of surreal when you get there. You're looking out at this big open canyon, and it's almost hard to bring it all in because there's just so many layers. So Mark Armfield said to get the full experience, you got to go down in it to look back up. So I did. This was the one time almost on the whole trip where I was not led astray. Unfortunately, Mark said, yes, this is a hard trip, and I'm trying to keep up. In my little group I was hiking with was Maddie Dane, who I don't even think his heart rate went up at all while he was hiking up, and slave driver Isaac Burton trying to keep us moving. And so I let them go on ahead, and I had what I have been calling my near-death experience. I didn't know if I'd be back here with you guys again. But anyway, it was a good trip. But just to sum it all up, it was my first time. As Mark said, they started going in 2000. So I'm actually, and the other ones who this was their first time, are coming in at really a great time because the groundwork has been laid in the Navajo Reservation, at least in that area. If you're going to plant a tree, you know, and you want to get apples or fruit, you need to plant it like a long time ago because it's going to take time for fruit to show up. And so they have been going since 2000. I believe last trip was the first time where anyone had professed salvation in the Lord Jesus. And so this year there's going to be other people that are going to talk about it, so I won't hit on it, but there was just more and more fruit. So it was one of those things where you don't see a whole lot of fruit at first, and then all of a sudden you get a little fruit. Maybe not much, but this year I felt like, as my first year, I'm just coming in and the Lord is just working out there. So that's really all I've got. Take it away.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Brian. He was expecting those 100-degree temperatures, and you know, he reminded us every day that we lied to him when we got out there. But when we were on the work projects and he and I were together, we were very thankful that it was not in the 100 degree range, because there was a lot of stuff that we were able to do and get done, and it was much more comfortable than it normally is. This time we have one of our young men who I think this was also his first time. Ezra Wall is going to give us a report on the work projects.
All right, so yes, this was my first time as well, so I can echo a lot of what Brian had to say. But just want to talk about the work projects real quick. During the days, we broke up into smaller teams and completed work projects. I was surprised at how much we were able to get done. There were a lot of different projects. There was a group working on building a fence. Some of us were working on a treehouse, putting siding on a treehouse for John and Ruth Bloom. There was a new house construction project with a lot of sheetrocking and that type of thing. A group replaced the floor in what they call the big house on the mission. Tim and Daniel did some tile in the bathroom of the gym. And there were several other cleanup type jobs. So there was a lot that got done. I think the work went really well. I don't have anything to compare to from past trips, but the projects were intense, but it wasn't as hot, so that was good. So great job, teams, on that. But for those of you who haven't gotten to take part in that work or gotten to see what what kind of an impact these projects have, just wanted to share a little about the significance to me about it. Because we don't fly hundreds of miles across the United States because someone needs a new fence or their floor replaced. Although that's good things, that's not the main reason we're there. We're concerned about their souls. So the significance of the work projects, though, I was listening to Robbie Zacharias on the way here, and one thing he said was, life must be inseparable from the Word. So our life has to reflect what we're teaching, right? So James 2:18, we know it well. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I'll show you my faith by my works. So I just thought it was so cool to be able to do those projects during the day, and then in the evenings when we got to do the kids clubs that are going to be talked about here in a minute, we got to say, here's why we did these things for you, and here's what compels us to do these things for you. So it just tied in really hand in hand. So the work projects are a big component of the overall trip. So.
Thank you, Ezra. And I will echo his thoughts. With this great number of people, everybody had a specific task and duty each day. And sometimes that varied. You may finish a project early, and John would always find something else for us to do, and everybody went with the flow, worked very hard, very diligent, and it was a pleasure to work with all these young people as we strove to do this for the Lord. This time, we're going to have one of our young men who was actually on my team and was at our kids' club tell about the kids' clubs, Lucas Jones.
Yeah, Mr. Todd's club was the best. No, I'm just kidding. But, when Mr. Mark asked me to do this, and I hung up the phone, I thought, man, I got a lot of remembering to do, because, it was a few months ago. But I'll try my best. Y'all sent us out there to spread the gospel message of Christ, and we mainly did that on the mission through the kids' clubs. And those were done in the evenings after supper and everything, and everyone was involved in a kids' club, and we were split up four different ways. And like Mr. Todd said, I was on his team, and we'd get there, and every club was different, but at our club, we just started playing and interacting and getting to know the people there. I was playing mainly with the kids, I guess, but I'm sure some other people talked a lot more to the adults, but just get to know them and everything, and then we'd all sit them down and give them a Bible story. Well, first off, we'd do like a song, teach them some songs that we'd sing here with some biblical truths in them, and we'd try to teach them a verse, which I don't even remember what our verse was that we tried to talk them all week. But I was amazed at how well these kids who had never been exposed to the Bible and stuff, how well they were able to take in and understand the verse. No, I don't remember what it was. And then each of us on the team had learned a Bible story for the most part. And I don't know, my Bible story was Naaman and his leprosy. And I know one was on Cain and Abel. And one Bible story they prepared to do on Peter in prison. And when he got out. But I don't remember what the other one was. Or the other two, I guess, because there were 5 days. But in each of those stories, we tried to put in a gospel message and keep hitting on gospel truths. And every time, even just talking with the kids and doing things with the people there, like crafts, the crafts would be based on the gospel message, and we'd try to keep hitting those again and again, that they needed a Savior, and that they were sinners, and that we were all sinners, that we needed a Savior, and that we needed Christ to come and die for us. And I guess we're going to talk about that next, how that was fruitful. That's all I got.
Thanks, Lucas. And these kids, one of the biggest challenges is getting the kids to participate. And this group of kids really bought into getting the groups that they went to interact with the small children. You could have a range of kids from 3 to 18 and then have some adults sitting there. And the biggest thing is getting those folks to actually feel that you're there because you care about them and that you want a relationship with them. And our kids did a great job of that, establishing that at the clubs. Because they're not going to listen to you if you think you're just a wham-bam fly-in, we're going to drop the gospel on you and we're gone, you know. And what these kids really did, they bought into these kids' lives. It's me, you know, sir. Thank you, Tim. They hugged them. They loved on them. They did all the things to let them see the love of Christ. And you're going to see that in the results that we had. At this point, I'm going to have Scott Murphy and then Tim Hawks talk about the work that the Lord did.
I'm going to try not to do what Todd's doing. But I had two testimonies to share with you on video, and my skills at electronics and file types and things caused me to not save it properly where it will play here today. So I'm going to, without notes, share with you two testimonies that two Navajo ladies gave to me. And possibly, I probably shouldn't say it, but I might could get permission to show those videos at another time. But it's a lot easier to play a video because I get choked up just watching it. If you'll remember, Miss Anna Shelley shared last time about a girl named Dakota getting saved. Well, the two testimonies that I have are Dakota's mother and Dakota's grandmother I have on video. And then the mother said that many people have been saved through Dakota's testimony in the last 2 years. So I was in the process of filming that. Her mother was going to share all the people, and my phone said out of storage and shut down. So, but I have two testimonies. I'm going to start with Lorena. She was always special to us. And this is the grandmother, and she said that her grandchild, T's daughter, had gotten sick with a heart disease, and that they had been to the clinic and then were sent to Phoenix. The doctors were going to have to give her a heart replacement, was what they had said was the only way that she would be able to be, keep surviving. And her granddaughter had come out from the doctor and said, "It's okay. Y'all need to stop worrying. God's healed me." And they were like, "Okay." And it turned out that after the doctors came out, or I don't know what type of period of time had passed, but the reports were back that she no longer needed heart replacement. And then they were driving back from Phoenix, and the grandmother states in the testimony that she had prayed for her daughter, and her daughter was healed, and that she prayed all the way back home that, you know, you're worth living for. You're a true God, and that you've, you know, healed my daughter, and I don't understand it. But from then on, she said, "I'm going to serve the real, true Lord Jesus Christ." And that's how she got saved. Then I have a testimony that I trimmed down 25 minutes of video into, enough to spend right now. So Tanya was, Tanya Roy was the house that is up here. This is the house that was built, or they were finishing it to that point when we were on the missions trip. The reason we were surrounding the house praying in this particular video, I don't know if everyone here knew about it until the very end, but there were witch doctors from a Satanist church leaving voodoo type stuff in the house while we were there. So every morning Tanya would have to go out and remove these items before the work team got there, because she didn't want them to see it and be aware of it. And then as T or Tanya gave her testimony, she was sharing how she had tried to commit suicide many times growing up, and she explained that when she was fairly young in school, she had gotten involved with witchcraft, and as she got older, she learned about stargazing and tarot card reading, and she said that people from all over the reservation came to her for healing and for different things. And she was very active in both the Satanic Church and in the traditional Navajo way. And that one of the reasons she got saved was, one, her daughter was Dakota, the one that got saved last year. And this daughter who had gotten sick with the heart problems. But she said that Dakota come to her every day, "Have you talked to the Lord yet?" And it was pretty amazing. It's hard to stand here and talk. I've watched the video so many times and editing it, so I kind of have it memorized. But T said that she didn't believe all of the witchcraft and things that she was involved with, that she knew that it was from reading people, and that she had always had plenty of money from what she did, but she didn't believe it. And that when her daughter had gotten sick, that she had prayed and her daughter was healed, and she still said she didn't believe it. She thought that it was something she had done because of all this, but that the doctors had come out from in Phoenix, had come out to talk to them and said, What types of ceremonies did you do, or what types of herbs and things did you give? And they said, "We did nothing. We just prayed." And she said that she had ended up just knowing that God had oh, I was trying to remember what I couldn't remember. I have no notes because I was relying on a video. What brought her, Tanya, to get saved was she had overdosed on medications trying to take her life again. And she was a preacher or some type of minister at the hospital had come to talk to her, and that he had her sharing what was going on, and she just broke down and said that she got down on her knees and just shared it. And he said, "Close your eyes and tell the Lord what you're telling me." And that she just stood up and knew that if she had said, even in the video, I don't know that you can forgive me for all that I've done. She said that in the satanic church that things, anything you could imagine, happened there. And she said, I don't even know if you can forgive me for all the hate that I've had or for all of the things that I've done. But she said that she knew when she stood up that the burden had been lifted and that she was going to live her life for Christ. And I don't know what time I started talking, but she said that she was going to live her life for Christ from then on, that she knew it was the one true God, and it was the first time that she had felt relieved of all the hate and things. So now Tanya is in charge of the missions teams. When they come to the station, she is in charge of divvying out what homes you go to for the Bible clubs. She did that this year for us. Currently, as I'm standing here at this pulpit, she is at a women's conference. I can't remember where, but through Facebook, she's given her testimony this morning somewhere to a church. And they're living their life for the Lord. It turned out that her husband had always been saved, but he was afraid to tell her because of the satanic. And I know it's hard for us to understand here, but the satanic world and the spirit world is very real. There are fallen angels who want our lives and that want to stumble us. And it might sound like, well, she's worshiping something that's not real. But if you're involved with the Navajo people, you start to realize how real that whole influence is. And I don't know at what point to stop sharing. So hopefully I'll be able to share the videos at a different time.
Speaking of fruit, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Dakota's cousin, wasn't her cousin? The day we were leaving?
Yeah, I failed. I have no notes. I wasn't prepared. In the video, you will see Tanya and the grandmother and a girl. Her name was Sparrow, sitting beside her. As soon as the grandmother and the mother had shared her testimony, Sparrow went with all of us back to the cafeteria, and my wife led her to the Lord through that. So just watching her mother, or no, it wasn't her mother, she was a cousin. But watching these two ladies give their testimony, she got saved that morning before we left.
So I just wanted to give a brief update on the Begay family. I've been going on these trips since, I missed one, but I've since 2000, I guess it was 2002 was the trip after 2000, or 2002 or 2003, I wasn't sure which the year. But in the top left-hand corner is Eddie and Betty Begay. They are believers, and they've been believers since we've been going out there. They've affiliated with the church on the station. And they have a daughter in the middle there with Reynolds, and she's holding a small child. But that's Reynolds and Alberta, and Alberta is Eddie and Betty Begay's daughter. Her salvation, her spiritual state is that she's not saved at the moment, and she needs our prayer, as well as all the other lost out there. But Reynolds is somebody I met. Scott and I met him the first year that we were out there, and we went on this, they have a yearly walk out there, and we met him during that walk for the community, and we made a connection, and I've made it a point to reach out to him every time I go out there, and we typically have a kids club at the Begay's house at either Reynolds and Alberta's or Eddie and Betty's, and this is just a proof that, you know, our theme verse this year is continuing steadfastly in prayer. And this is a proof that prayer works to salvation. Because we've asked for prayer for this family, for Reynolds specifically in Alberta. And we've been praying for them. And Reynolds got saved last Christmas. We appreciate the prayer on behalf of him and his family. Cindy is holding Tamari as a baby here. And Tamari is in the picture below as well. And she also got saved last year. And that is one of Alberta's children. And she has a number of children. And her sister has a number of children. So there's a lot of grandchildren for Eddie and Betty. About six of them are saved now, but there's still another six or so that are not. And so they still need our prayers for salvation. Angel is to the right. That's one of Alberta's children. And Brendan is to the right there. Brendan, Angel's saved as well. She's worked at the mission station as a teacher for kindergartners. And Brendan shared with me while we were out there that he's also saved last year. And he just said it's really hard. He's having a hard time with it. He's having a hard time finding work. So he really needs our prayer for spiritual growth, for God to lead him to a job and to continue to get close to him. But this is just one family out there out of a number of them. And I just want to share, too, that when we first started, the ground was hard. I mean, it felt like we would share the gospel and it wasn't really doing much. I mean, we know that the Lord's word goes out not void, but we would share the gospel and not see fruit. And last time we went in 2013 to see Dakota get saved really sparked energy in this team going out there, and to hear all of the fruit that has happened since that trip in the last 2 years has really been encouraging and just shows that we have to keep sharing the gospel, and the Lord will do the work. And over time, in His time, the Lord will convict hearts and save souls. And so we're especially thankful for that. I'm going to go right into the slideshow. So I hope you enjoy that. But keep praying for these folks out there. And there is a reason we go out there. And this is it. And we're seeing fruit from it. And we're so thankful to the Lord for what He's doing out there.
One thing before you start that. Yes. We also had one other young man leave someone to the Lord, Josh Proctor, on the last night of Kids Club in the van taking them back to the house. What was the kid's name, Josh? What? Nijah. So let's pray for Nijah and his family. And this is a kid that's in a real bad situation, living with an aunt and an uncle, doesn't know exactly where his parents are, doesn't see them, but he professed faith, and Josh shared the gospel with him on the way back.
To fail without you. so strong. We'll be the sound that wakes the dawn. Shines like
All right, that gives you a brief overview. We've asked one of our adult leaders, I think this was, what, this your fourth trip out, third or fourth trip out, Greg Whittemore, to come and just close us out with a few closing thoughts and close us in prayer.
I guess I would just like to take a moment to, obviously by looking at the videos, you can probably figure out who the oldest one on the group was. But you know, I wouldn't do something like that unless it was a worthwhile endeavor, and it most definitely is. This is the fourth trip that I've been on. You know, if you at a point in my life where staying up for a 24-hour period traveling, I don't like to fly. That's obvious. Mark and I have had a couple of episodes with flying. I don't really like that. If I can drive, I'm going to drive it. Driving 8 hours to get there, it's a very long trip. But you know, it is very worthwhile to see this group of kids and kids in the past at work. Those of you who are parents or grandparents of some of these children and have never experienced the an opportunity to see them in that element and see them work as a team, to see them stay together, to see them conduct a Christian testimony out in public, not only when they're with the kids and with the other families, witnessing to others in the airports, and just see them being prepared. You don't realize how much they had prepared for those lessons. And it just clicked like clockwork. You know, if I had the opportunity to do it again, of course I would. It was a great experience. It's definitely evident to see that the representation of these kids from Shannon Hills Bible Chapel and the scriptural things that they have learned from here and taken it out to a different, entirely different culture, and spreading the good news that they've learned from here to another group of people who just have never come in contact with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's beginning to definitely be evident there at that mission in the surrounding community. So continue to pray for this mission, that it may continue. You just don't know how good it feels to go out there and see and actually speak to those who are getting saved. For years, like they had talked about, you haven't really seen the growth. But you know, you spread the good news and God will take it from there. And it's obvious that that work is a worthwhile endeavor. I would just like to say thank you to those of you who supported this trip, supported those kids to be able to go, and us leaders. It's not all work, by no means. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be around this group. They were a good bunch of kids who went with the right mindset. They went to accomplish a goal and a mission, and they did, and that's evident. All right, we can go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this glorious day you've given us today. We thank you that we can come and worship you in this place. We're thankful for Shannon Hills Bible Chapel and the stand that it takes in this community. We thank you for the truths that have been taught from your word. We're thankful for these young people who have taken that in, who have accepted you as their Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And we're thankful that they were willing to go. No one made them go on this trip, but they were willing to go and felt led by you to go and spread the good news of salvation to these people who need to hear it, and they continue to. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to go. May this work continue on in the future. May you bless Emmanuel Mission and the work going on there, the workers there, and may spiritual growth continue to to grow by leaps and bounds. Lord, we put this day into your hands. We give you all the praise and honor and glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.